Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. I'm Mateen filling in for Kasim today, and our guest today is Scott. So Scott, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, guys. My name is Scott. I actually own a entertainment company in Cleveland, Ohio called Sound Precision Entertainment, and we do everything from DJ, lighting, photo booths, sparklers, you know, the whole nine yards. So anything on the fun person stuff we handle.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this company?
Oh, it's a pretty good question. So I was a drummer in high school and in college, and I got a phone call my junior year of college saying like, hey, doesn't your band that you play in have a PA system? And I laughed and said, yeah. And they're like, hey, this organization needs some music play. Can you play music? I was like through a computer. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm not really a DJ. And they're like, well, we have $400. I'm like, I'm a DJ. So that was kind of the how I got into it. And you know, now we do well over 300 weddings a year, and I've got a pretty big staff, and it's a lot of fun.
So, but how did you go, which is really interesting. So you started small, somebody called and said, hey, Scott, can you come out and be like a DJ? And you did this one event, but like, obviously from that point to what you're doing now, like to scale up to that level, it's very impressive. So how have you been able to grow this business, and what steps have you taken along the way just to get to this level?
Well, that's a great question. To be honest with you, we've never been a company that's taken in any kind of outside funding or resources. So it's literally been the American dream kind of a company, starting literally from the ground up. You know, you make $500, you reinvest $400 back into the business, and you keep $100 in your pocket. That's the long and short of it. But I really credit a lot of it to building a fantastic team. When you get to this level, you just simply can't do it by yourself. So we don't only want to be great DJs and great production, but we also want to be great businessmen. And I think that that's the key, you know, being really good on the production side, but also having business acumen as well.
Awesome. So if somebody wanted to work with you, can you kind of walk us through what that process looks like for a potential customer?
Sure. So we've got a pretty robust website. We kind of pride ourselves on being a great resource for our clients. It typically starts with them, you know, making their way to our website, finding out about us and what we do. A lot of videos and blogs and all kinds of fun stuff. And then from there, typically there's a contact form where we kind of get their information, where we're going to set up a consultation. We're going to find out, you know, what is the event? Are we talking about a wedding? Is it a corporate event? Is it a private function? And then from there, we're kind of building custom proposals that's going to kind of fit and suit their specific needs.
Awesome. So in terms of, you know, you mentioned that you have different types of events. So for those events, are you staffing different people? Like, what are they looking for? I mean, obviously weddings and corporate functions are very different. So like, what is some of the differences there in terms of venue or the staff or even just planning from your side and making it a successful event?
Sure. So planning in the entertainment space is everything. So obviously if it's a wedding or some sort of production event like that, you know, you're going to want to have people that have fun personalities, they're outgoing, they're able to be leaders and walk large groups of people through, you know, different functions of the evening. Whereas when it's on the production side, now you need people that is very skilled labor. So professional audio engineers and maybe video technicians and, you know, lighting guys. And you're going to want people that understand how to take orders and work with large amounts of people. And they're able to kind of take the chaos that is the client's idea and put that all together into a final product that they're going to love.
So how do you balance it out, right? For example, like weather, right? I mean, it can rain. Like, how do you deal with these, you know, possible issues, unexpected issues that can happen when you're having these outdoor events per se?
You know, that's another one. One of the words of our business is simply redundancy. And that means having backup speakers and cables and lights and cords and computers and covers and you name it. Basically, we have to be prepared for anything. So in a perfect world in Cleveland, Ohio, you get a 72 degree sunny day and it's gorgeous. And on the worst case scenario, you got, you know, snow, sleet, hail, and we have to be able to prepare for all of it. So it's kind of always like hope for the best, but be very, very prepared for the worst.
How do you prepare for that? Do you just have like, you know, a tent set up, or like, what does that look like if you're doing something outside, for example?
So typically whoever is hosting the event is going to kind of handle what we call like inclement weather accommodation. So for a wedding, it could be something as small as a traditional pop-up tent that you might find at a retail store. But for some of these larger events, you know, they're going to be much bigger commercial tents and things of that nature. So we've seen outdoor venues that have air conditioning, that have heat, that have, you know, large fans. So some of these events get to a level where they may be outdoors, but they very much feel like they're indoors.
Makes sense. So can you talk a little bit more? I mean, I guess just about some of the coolest events that you've been able to do. I mean, I think we spoke earlier, you know, you were talking about events at different stadiums. Like what has been, you know, what have been some of your favorite events you've been able to work with?
Sure. So I'll give you a couple off the top of my head. So I would say it was this past May, one of them. So we were at the Ritz-Carlton in Chicago, right off Michigan Avenue. So unbelievable venue. And we did a large-scale corporate event for a healthcare-based company. It was a lot of fun. It was a multi-day event. It really pushed us professionally. And not only did the event go well, but we've actually been able to retain them for, you know, next year. So that's always a positive. And then when you get into the wedding stuff, we've done so many cool things. I mean, we've done stuff at Cleveland Brown Stadium, at Progressive Field. We've done events for local celebrities, whether it be Browns players, you know, at the time, Cleveland Indians players, et cetera. So we've really gotten to meet some great people and do some really neat things over the years.
So have you ever done things like at a sporting event, either like maybe like after an event or like, you know, I don't know, halftime or those types of, you know, scenarios?
Sure. So typically there are different companies that get calls for, whether it be tailgates or specifically. So a few years back, 2016, the Cavaliers were NBA champions. So there was a lot of pregame and postgame activities going on downtown. It was in June. The weather was great. So we had done some stuff for that. We have had guys get calls for Browns backers parties. We have the Muni lot, which if you're a fan of the NFL, nobody tailgates like Cleveland Browns fans nowhere in the country. They play better than Cleveland Browns, but they don't tailgate like the fans do. So, you know, we've done a lot of stuff like that too. So we go where we're needed. Sometimes just having, you know, the voice, the personality, the MC, sometimes people will hire us specifically for those skills. So it may not even be, hey, we need you to bring speakers and lights and cables and cords, but we need you to get up on stage, introduce somebody, you know, be an MC, be a character, all those kind of things.
Awesome. So what would you say makes you better than your competition?
It's a great question. So in our business, what I tell people is everybody has lights and speakers and cables and music and microphones. And really what makes us better in the competition, it's the people. We have people here that work, you know, 5 days a week where our job, our life is to make sure these events go well. We take it personally. We want it to go great. We've seen the good ones. We've seen the bad ones, and we know what makes it right. And I will forever just think it's the people that I put around myself and the approach that we take to making sure that our clients are going to get the exact service that they expect for the day.
Awesome. So in terms of staffing, I'm sure that can be challenging, because I think when we spoke, you mentioned that summertime is obviously way busier. So like, what does that look like in terms of like just staffing people for events when it's slower per se?
So it's definitely more difficult. So here we're very fortunate that we're one of the few companies in the country that actually have a staff of 6 full-time members here as far as an entertainment company. And then we probably have upwards of 35 to 40 contractors that we work at any given time throughout the year. So they know that during the summer, what we're going to be able to provide is consistency, and we're going to be able to provide bulk. So they're going to give us loyalty based on the fact that they're going to work and it's going to be frequent. But we're always honest and open and very candid about, hey, when it gets to the winter time, it doesn't mean that you're not going to work, but we just as a company don't carry the same volume of events with us. So they kind of have an understanding that, hey, there's going to be a 3 to 4 month slower period during the year, but we're going to more than make up for it when it's June, July, August, and through the fall.
Makes sense. So I think when it comes to contracts, and that's like an interesting point, so many people struggle with vetting contracts. Like, how do you vet them and make sure that like people who are contracting for you are going to really showcase your brand in the best way and do the best job when they're at these events?
So one of the things that we do, which is very different than all of our competitors, as a company, I like to hold the assets. So when a contractor goes out, they're going to use our equipment. They're going to be traveling in our vehicles, and they're going to be using, you know, the script that our company uses. So it gives us the ability to give a sense of quality control before we even go to the individual. Once you get to the individual, it's about, you know, what is their personality like? Can they talk to people? Are they polite? Are they afraid of the limelight, or do they want to jump right in? And you'd be surprised, once you kind of have a conversation like this with somebody, I can tell in minutes whether I think this individual could potentially go out there in front of 300 people and talk, or whether they're going to kind of be more of a behind the scenes kind of a tech guy at that point.
So when you're vetting people, like, do you get, I mean, so just basic on that conversation, like, okay, like, let me see if I can give them a chance and if they can be good. And I'm going to, and do you go out to their first event and see, okay, like, this person's good, I can keep them, et cetera.
So yeah, we would never just hire a contractor or employee and just say, okay, your first wedding's this weekend. They go on a pretty rigorous kind of a training process. So I would say on average, a typical contractor is going to go out on anywhere from 6 to 12 events with one of our veteran staff. And then through that training and just kind of visualizing what we do, we'll know pretty quickly when they're kind of ready to take that next step. We've had some guys who will train for an entire season with us. And then I have some guys who, honestly, we take out for 6 events and they're ready to go. And each person is different and just kind of assessing the situation and kind of knowing, you know, when they're ready to kind of take that leap to being a lead for, you know, our company.
Makes sense. So what is the biggest challenge that you're currently facing in your business?
So that, it's funny, we've been discussing staffing. I would say one of our biggest challenges has been staffing. And despite the fact that I've been able to hire 6 full-time people who are great and amassed a contractor staff of, you know, nearly 40 people, in our business, enough staff is almost never enough. There's constantly events coming in, and we feel many times that we're very much kind of hindered by the amount of personnel that we have around us. So, you know, right now as a company, my company can and will do many weekends up to 7 DJ production events, 3 photography events, and even 3 videography events. So we could be doing 13 to 15 events on any given evening. We don't only sell 13 to 15 because that's all we can sell. We sell that because I know that I have fantastic equipment and people to properly support 13 events. So finding those people to kind of bring in that allows us to kind of keep expanding, you know, that circle is kind of, you know, what is an ever work in progress.
Makes sense. So do you turn down lots of business? And also, you mentioned traveling, that you were in Texas. So like, what in your mind makes something make sense? Okay, I'm going to travel outside of Cleveland and do this event.
So when people ask us that, I'm super candid. And I'm like, listen, there are probably 10 million DJs between Cleveland, Ohio and Grapevine, Texas. So if we're going to go, it obviously has to make sense for us. So, you know, basically, I let them know, you know, that it's a little bit out of our typical scope, but we're happy to put a quote together that's typically going to involve things like travel and lodging and, you know, things of that nature. And for the most part, if clients understand that and they're willing to kind of pay the additional, I guess, that it's going to take to have us go down, at that point, we're happy to do it. It's one of those things where we're very blessed that if people see us perform in Cleveland and they loved it and now they're getting married in Pueblo, Colorado, sometimes for some people, it's not about how much does it cost, it's about can you do what we want, and that can you do what we want is going to far exceed what something's going to cost. So we're blessed in that regard.
So yeah, I mean, that's awesome. But do you turn down lots of business too, in terms of, because I think, like, just from what it seems like, that you really make sure that things are top notch, like high quality, right? So yeah, you know, I'm sure maybe there's weekend, okay, I can't take on these, you know, all these events because I don't have the staff that are fully trained and that can, you know, take on all these events.
Sure. So I would say that there's 3 months out of the year where that's potentially possible. So in our market, you have October is the busiest month of the year, followed by September, followed by June. So in those 3 months, there is a very real possibility that we can and have turned down business just due to not having enough staff to fulfill. However, I would say the other months of the year, for the most part, it would be a much more rare circumstance that we'd be turning down business. But certainly in those 3 months, it's a very real possibility and has happened. So,
makes sense. So what is the role of technology in your business?
Technology is everything. So a lot of times I think people have this idea of a wedding company or a production company, and they're bringing in, you know, CDs and kind of old tape decks or vinyl. I mean, at this point, everything we do, whether you're talking about the computers that we use, the wireless DMX technology that controls our lights, you know, Bluetooth that we use to, you know, throw wireless signal across the room, and don't even get me started on the photo and video equipment that we're using on a day-to-day basis, and the computers it takes to kind of render through 4K 60 frames per second. So I would say that, you know, if somebody were to say, you know, what do? Obviously, we're an entertainment company, but a very close second is we're heavily tech-based for sure.
In terms of tech, like, what is your current tech stack? Like, are you using artificial intelligence at all in your business?
So we have just recently kind of gotten working on that a little bit. The chat GPT boom has begun. So there's been some small stuff like blog writing and things of that nature that we've kind of delved into a little bit of AI with. We've looked at a little bit of chat box, bot type stuff that we've just started to kind of touch on. And we've recently started trying to develop a portion of our website that would be a our pricing model that would be intelligent enough to, when people add multiple services together, the system would recognize what that looks like, and then maybe a savings can be implemented, you know, on the back end. So some of those things we haven't actually rolled out to the public yet, but, you know, in our world, we're just kind of dipping our toe in the water as to how those things can help us and our business.
Awesome. So can you talk a little more about how it can help, like a high level chatbot, like how would that help your business in terms of just customer engagement or even saving you time and money on the customer service side?
Yeah, I mean, it's been super helpful. You know, a typical client is going to reach out and they're going to say, are you available and what does it cost? And those two questions can be answered very easily as far as, yes, we're available and this is where you go to find out the cost. So, you know, let's say that happens 12 to 25 times a day. That's 12 to 25 at a minimum minutes that I am not having to open my computer, jump on my phone to make that response. The other thing is they can be engaging and actually get the conversation started. And once that conversation's kind of begun, we've noticed that our closing rate has even been better on the back end, because it's like, rather than saying like, yes, we're available, we cost $600. It's like, yes, we're available and we start at $1,200. But what kind of services were you thinking about for your family and friends? And just having that open-ended question has really kind of gotten the ball rolling for us. And we've seen a very nice, at the very least, turnout as far as people getting the conversation going.
So essentially, can the chatbot make customized proposals for your customers? Or is at that point, do you still have to go back and you know, have that discussion, you know, with you and your team?
So we are not at the point to where they can make completely customized proposals. A lot of what we can do, though, can be very much package-based. So, you know, this is DJ Uplighting Photo Booth or DJ Ceremony CO2 Cannon. And we are at the point where we can kind of take those services that are choosing and then kind of say, hey, if you bundle those three things together, you're going to see a savings of $347. But we're not at the point where someone could just kind of point blank say, we want this, and the AI can grab that, put together a customized proposal that we feel comfortable with sending out. I think we're moving that direction, but we are not there yet.
You're saying to, I guess, quote unquote, close the sale, there still needs to be this kind of like phone call or some sort of like actual human interaction that needs to take place between you and your customer, correct?
I think in our business, it's a little different. So when people are selling widgets that have a certain cost, I think it's easier. But, you know, when you're dealing with people, whether it be a corporate event or a wedding or a high-end function, you know, contracts can range anywhere from $3,500 to $60,000. So typically when you're getting into those kind of price points in a service-based industry, somebody wants to kind of put a face to the name before they're ready to kind of sign off on a spend like that. So at this point, there's still some of that, but where the AI comes in for us is the time that it could potentially save us between talking to the person for the first time and getting that proposal out. You know, there's a lot of lost time there. So that could be a big help to a company like us.
So let me ask you this. So in terms of that process, right, is it like the action the customer's taking is booking a meeting with you, then the chat? Or is it more so like the action is that is taking, saying, hey, I'm going to give all this information to Scott and his team, and then you're going to go back and come up with something? I mean, what, like, because you mentioned like that face-to-face is important, right? So what is the action that, yeah.
Yeah, so we're working through that. So prior to the pandemic, we're fortunate to have a beautiful office and showroom. People come in with great couches and TVs, and, you know, it was fantastic. And we always felt like that gave us a massive advantage in the market, because not many companies had those abilities. So we always want people to come in, but what we found certainly post COVID is that these younger buyers, and they're less likely to want to actually do that. So they're much more likely to engage with a chat box or be able to kind of get transparent pricing online. And then if they get to the point to where they're interested, they're a potential buyer, now they may want to do a Google Meet. You may get them to be able to come into the office, but there's definitely, it seems like, more vetting on the front end. You know, people aren't just looking companies up online and scheduling an appointment. They want to feel like, hey, we're not going to waste our time. We potentially would consider doing business with this company.
That makes sense. Yeah, 100%. I think the social proof is definitely important. I think, as Terry mentioned, you've been in business for several years and you've done so many events. So I think it's like, to your point, somebody can just go on your website and say, hey, you know, your company's in all these amazing events. Like, I don't need to have, you know, this, like, go to, you know, come to your office and whatever. Let's just cut to the chase and just book it. Just call it a day.
And that has happened where it's like, hey, you did my best friend's wedding. You guys were fantastic. I know who you are. I know what you do. Are you available on October 14th? If so, what does it cost and how do I get the ball rolling? And as a business owner and salesman, I mean, that's the dream phone call, right? But they're not all like that. So you have to be able to kind of, you know, start with somebody who knows nothing about you or somebody who's a big fan of what you do and basically to bridge that gap for everyone, you know.
100%. So what is your number one business priority right now?
So the number one business priority right now is kind of figuring out like where we're going in the future. So I feel like we've done an incredible job growing in Cleveland, and we have a great grasp of the market in Cleveland for production. So it's like, well, what's next? I mean, is there an exit strategy? I don't know if I really want that. You know, are we going to franchise to a different market? Something that we've looked at, you know, it's kind of like, what is that next step? And I would say those are the things that internally the conversations have started about, but I would be lying to you if I told you we know what it is at this point.
Makes sense. And Mateen, I think that you had a question.
Yeah, my wedding is in December, so I was saying Scott is very good. Did you? Maybe you can.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting married in December. He's in Pakistan, so, you know.
Wow. So we've actually done a fair amount of, I would say, like really neat ethnic weddings, whether it be Italian weddings, whether it be Indian weddings, whether it be Muslim weddings. We've really gotten to see a ton of really kind of unique and ethnic weddings over the years. And it's so cool because, you know, we see the traditional westernized wedding and that's what we're good at. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a fantastic challenge and kind of a cultural shock when we are fortunate enough to kind of get involved in other types of weddings. So that's been a pretty cool experience for us too.
Have you thought about, or have you like ever traveled like internationally to do like any weddings yet?
You know, it's so funny. I think that'd be like a bucket list thing. I would certainly love to do it. I think it would be more likely that somebody on my photo or video team could accomplish that. It's just simply easier to get a camera and some flash on a carry-on on a plane and take it over versus trying to source the type of equipment that we use. But there probably is a world where something works out, where people are doing something at a resort in Mexico or something in Europe where potentially that can happen. I don't know for sure, but I would love to find, I would love to find out. So if you're getting married somewhere outside of the country, I'm your guy.
Awesome. So what is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Biggest piece of advice is you have to be passionate about what you do. You need to be a great DJ. You need to be a great people person. You need to know your music. But it doesn't matter if you're good at all of those things if you don't understand the business side of business. So I think what would have been a great piece of advice is, hey, understand business before you start a business, because if you're passionate about what you do and you're good at what you do, you know, good things are going to happen, but you got to understand the business piece as well.
Well, that's great advice, Scott. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing best way to get in contact with you or company website?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my name is Scott Terranova. I can be reached at scott@spedj.com. That's scott@spedj.com. Or our website is certainly spedj.com or cufflinkmedia.com. So those are our two websites. And my phone number is 216-870-4513.
Awesome. Well, Scott, I want to say thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you guys keep growing and expanding, because it seems like you've had a very good business model that needs to be expanded all across America and even more so.
Well, listen, thank you guys so much for the time. This has been a really cool opportunity for me. I like what you guys are doing. I've kind of taken a look. It's pretty impressive yourself. So thanks for having me on. And, you know, hopefully our paths can cross again soon and we'll do some business.
That was great. Thank you so much.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks. You too. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.